At the outset of the Iraq War, Warren Zinn worked as a photojournalist for the Army Times. He was embedded with the 7th Cavalry Regiment. Just a few days after the invasion, he snapped several pictures of a medic running with an injured Iraqi boy in his arms. One of those photographs was splashed across front pages and on websites around the world. The medic was PFC Joseph Dwyer. And last month, more than 5 years later, Dwyer died of a drug overdose. This past Sunday, Warren Zinn wrote in the Washington Post about his feelings when he learned of Joseph Dwyer's death, and Warren Zinn joins us now on the phone from Miami, and it's nice to have you on the program today.
Good afternoon, Neil. Thank you for having me.
And first, take us back to that day in the Euphrates Valley in 2003. What happened?
Well, it was the culmination of a pretty hectic evening. The 7th Cavalry had been ambushed and attacked all night long. And it ended with a bombing run sort of on this village where these fighters were hiding inside of, right on the edge of the Euphrates River. And after the bombs had fallen, out came a gentleman carrying a white flag. And he came out and said there were injured people in the village. And the commander told him, you know, fearing that there was an ambush waiting for soldiers down there, he said, well, why don't you go ahead and bring them to the road and we'll take care of them. And a couple minutes later, the gentleman appeared carrying this four-year-old boy in his arms. This boy's name is Ali Sattar. And his leg was bandaged up, you know, blood-soaked bandage. And carried him up the road, and then all of a sudden, to my right, you know, medic, you know, Joseph Dwyer goes running down the road, halfway down to meet this guy, and scoops up the child in his arms and comes running back towards us with the child cradled in his arms.
And what are you thinking as you're taking pictures?
That I hope it's in focus, that I hope the shutter speed's right, that I don't mess this up, because I knew it was just really a beautiful moment that people needed to see, and that I wanted to make sure that I nailed it.
And in 1/250th of a second, you changed some people's lives.
I think so. I mean, I hope so. Some for the positive and some for the negative. But, the one thing that I hope that comes out of it is that this 1/250th of a second is now living on 5 years later and hopefully bringing some positive change to somebody somewhere. I know that since the stories ran, I received over 350 emails, most from, I've got soldiers from World War II, Vietnam, Korea, this Gulf War, the past Gulf War, this war, who are all sharing their experiences with me of post-traumatic stress disorder and coming home and dealing with it.
Because that's indeed what happened to PFC Dwyer. But first of all, Dwyer, excuse me. But first of all, I know you also went back to find out what happened to that then four-year-old boy.
Yeah, I went back with a reporter and actually a crew from CNN followed us. And we went from Baghdad and drove down a couple hours to the village using a GPS location that the military had given me from where we were that night. And sort of showed the photograph around the neighborhood and went from house to house showing the front covers, and everybody pointed us in a different direction, and finally we were pointed to the right house, and out walked Ali's father with Ali in his arms. Ali's leg was still injured and was still, he walked with a very painful limp, so his family's, carried him most of the time. And we spent the afternoon together. We shared, showed them photographs, and we sat there right on the edge of the Euphrates River on a very, very hot July day. And it was pretty interesting.
What did Ali think of the picture of himself?
He was very enamored at sort of seeing his face on in this photograph. The family as a whole, I think, was just didn't quite get the gravity of it. They didn't quite get why it was a big deal. You know, to them, they were just a simple farming family living their lives on the side of the Euphrates, and that's it. You know, Ali's injured, and there's nothing they can do about it. And they didn't really understand why this was in newspapers.
We're talking with Warren Zinn, formerly a photographer with the Army Times, about an iconic photograph he took just a few days after the invasion of Iraq and its aftermath. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I know that at some point, Joe Dwyer, who left the military by then, got in touch with you to find out if you knew what had happened to the boy in the picture.
Yeah, he sent me an email out of the blue one day to see how I was doing and what was going on. And I told him that I'd actually gone back to Iraq, and he asked me, about the kid and how he was doing, and I told him the story of how I went back to Iraq, and we found the child, and I got an email back from him that says, quote, I can't believe you went to Iraq, and it goes on to say, I was afraid the kid didn't make it, and he said, I wish I was there with you back at that village.
In the meantime, of course, Joseph Dwyer was not doing that well himself, suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and, having all kinds of terrible experiences.
Yeah, I mean, he was definitely having lots of problems. I didn't know about it, and there was nothing in the emails to sort of give it away. In fact, the last email I got from him was December 1st, and he said, quote, when I first got back, I didn't really want to talk about being over there to anyone. He went on to say, now looking back on it, it's one of the greatest things I've ever done. I hope you feel the same way about what you have done. I truly believe you played an important role in this war. You told everyone's story. So, from that email, no one could have possibly known that, you know, only 2 months later he was going to get arrested for shooting at Iraqis outside his door in his apartment in Texas.
Of course, there weren't any Iraqis.
Of course, and he just, you know, couldn't cope with coming back to the civilized world.
And was self-medicating with, huffing, breathing in the fumes from toxic things.
Right, and that, you know, that's what I read. I knew nothing about that. I only knew what I read. And, you know, I've spoken to his mother and to his wife a couple times since he's passed away, and, you know, they've talked about that. But, yeah.
And then there's the question of how much did his celebrity, the celebrity that you, in a sense, gave him in that 250th of a second, how much did his celebrity play a role in that?
You know, the only person who would know that would be Joseph Dwyer. But I got to imagine it couldn't have. You know, is it a small puzzle piece inside the map of someone's head? I'm sure. But I think there are obviously lots of other, you know, very large issues that were going on that led to this. I think it was probably more about what he saw on the ground in Iraq than the actual photograph. And in fact, I got lots of emails from people and from people who were made famous themselves from photographs in past wars, and they said the opposite, that the photograph is what put a smile on their face, is one of the things that kept them going.
At one point, though, I know that you heard that he hated the photograph.
Yeah, you know, and his mother, when the first time we spoke after he passed away, she said to me, you know, unprompted, she said, "I want you to know there were some reports that he didn't like that photograph. That's not true. He loved the photograph. He was very proud of the photograph. He just sort of was embarrassed that there were hundreds and thousands of other soldiers who were doing exactly what he was doing, and he sort of got singled out in that photograph." And I also got an email from one of his friends out in Texas, a fellow medic of his, who said exactly the same thing. So that, you know, made me feel better, that knowing that he really enjoyed it, really loved the photograph.
You've since left the journalism business. You're going to law school there in Miami. Nevertheless, that picture has changed meanings several times since you took it 5 years ago and more.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, some say the picture is iconic. I don't think it's iconic. I think, Joe Rosenthal's photograph of the flag being raised at Iwo Jima is iconic. I think this photograph was representative of what was going on at the war at the time. It was taken a week into the war. You know, whether you were for or against the war, you recognize the fact the soldiers were there and you were hoping that what they were doing was something good. And this photograph represented that at the time. And then I think 5 years later, it represents what's also going on with the war. And that's there are hundreds of thousands or tens of thousands of wounded warriors that are coming home, both mentally wounded and physically wounded. And I think that this photograph represents that now. So I think it represented the war in the beginning, and I think it represents the war now.
And, of course, those wounded Iraqis who are not going to get over their injuries quickly either, if at all.
Absolutely, and I didn't mean to overlook that.
No, I know you didn't.
And then that's also where it shows, too, is that we went back to see what happened to Ali, and it's unknown. And I think that's also a big part about it, is the unknown Iraqi civilians and what's happened to them.
Warren Zinn, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you, Neil.
Warren Zinn was a photojournalist with the RNE Times, now a law student with us on the phone from Miami in Florida. Tomorrow at Science Friday, Ira Flatow will be here. We'll see you again on Monday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.